Ever get that feeling like you think you understand your rights and then something happens that kind of makes you question everything?
Oh, yeah, totally.
That's kind of what we're diving into today
Okay.
with People v. Hall.
Right.
It's a case that takes the Fourth Amendment to a whole new level.
Yeah.
Body cavity searches.
It's a situation that really forces us to examine the boundaries of police authority and the very personal right to privacy,
Right.
especially when it comes to our own bodies.
So picture this. You're arrested, maybe for a minor drug offense,
Okay.
and suddenly the search goes way beyond checking your pockets.
Yeah.
That's the reality we're unpacking today.
People v. Hall is not just some case.
Yeah.
It's a landmark decision that set the standard for how police can conduct these highly invasive searches.
All right, so let's set the scene.
Okay.
Azeem Hall was observed by police seemingly engaging in a drug transaction.
Right.
This led to his arrest.
Oh, okay.
Standard stuff so far, right?
Right. But here's where it gets interesting. At the station, they did a strip search of Hall, but they didn't find any drugs. You'd think
Oh.
that'd be the end of it, right?
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah.
But then the police conducted a visual inspection. And get this, they noticed a string or a piece of plastic
Okay.
hanging from his rectum. I mean, talk about a twist in the story.
And this is a key point
Right.
because they escalated the search without any judicial approval.
Right.
They went from a strip search to a visual body cavity inspection.
Wait, they did what?
Yeah.
No warrant.
Well,
Okay, this is where things get really interesting.
yeah.
So they pull on the string and remove a plastic bag containing crack cocaine
Okay.
from Hall's body cavity.
Yeah.
I mean, is that even legal?
That's exactly what the courts had to decide.
Right.
The trial court actually sided with Hall,
But
suppressing the drugs as evidence and dismissing the indictment. They felt the police overstepped their bounds.
rightfully so, right?
Yeah.
Seems pretty cut and dry.
But hold on, the appellate division saw it differently.
Okay.
They reversed the trial court's decision,
Oh, wow.
saying the visual inspection and retrieval of the drugs were permissible without a warrant.
Whoa. Talk about a legal tug of war.
Yeah.
So this is how it ended up in the New York Court of Appeals, right?
Exactly.
Because these two courts couldn't agree.
Exactly.
Okay.
This created a split in legal interpretation, a major debate about the boundaries of bodily privacy after an arrest.
Right.
The Court of Appeals, being the highest court in New York, stepped in to give a definitive answer.
So the core question
Yeah.
was, does the Fourth Amendment allow for warrantless visual and manual body cavity searches
Yeah.
just because someone is arrested?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
And the court really had to wrestle with this,
Right.
weighing the possibility of evidence being destroyed
Right.
against how incredibly invasive these searches are.
No kidding. So what did the court decide?
Judge Graffio, who wrote the majority opinion, made a really important distinction between just looking
All
and
right.
actually reaching. In visual inspections, she argued,
Yeah.
could be okay with reasonable suspicion.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Reasonable suspicion. For our listeners who may not be legal experts,
Right?
can you break that down?
Think of it this way.
Okay.
It's like that feeling you get when you see someone lurking around your car
Right.
and you just know something's off.
Yeah.
You might not have proof,
Right.
but you have a reason to be suspicious.
Right.
In this case, the drug arrest and the fact that no contraband was found in Hall's clothing could be seen as reasonable suspicion to justify the visual inspection.
Got it. So looking is one thing,
Right.
but what about actually pulling something out?
Yeah.
Do they need a warrant for that?
Judge Graffio was crystal clear on that.
Okay.
Manual body cavity searches, like what happened in Hall's case,
Okay.
require a warrant.
Right.
No ifs, ands, or buts. Unless we're talking about a genuine emergency.
So the police absolutely needed a warrant to go from looking to removing something from Hall's body.
Yes, unless there was a real risk of the evidence being destroyed, like
Right.
if Hall was concealing something that could be swallowed
Yeah.
or pose a health risk.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So were there any urgent circumstances like that in Hall's case?
The court said no.
Okay.
There was no indication that the drugs were perishable,
Right.
posed a health risk, or could be quickly disposed of. So a
Right.
manual extraction without a warrant, not okay.
This reminds me of that famous Supreme Court case, Schmerber v. California. Didn't they decide that warrants are needed
Yeah.
for bodily intrusions that go beyond the surface?
Spot on.
Okay.
Judge Graffio actually cited Schmerber building on that precedent.
Right.
It's a great example of how the legal system uses past cases to inform present decisions.
So, in essence, People v. Hall doubled down on the idea that you can't just go poking around inside someone's body without a very good reason.
Exactly.
And that reason usually needs to be backed up by a warrant.
Exactly.
Makes sense. But I'm guessing not everyone on the court agreed with Judge Grafeo.
Uh-huh.
There had to be some different opinions on something this complex, right?
You're absolutely right.
Okay.
There were some dissenting and concurring opinions that added another layer to the debate.
Got it.
Judge Smith, for example,
okay,
argued that retrieving the string from Hall's rectum was minimally intrusive,
mm-hmm,
similar to seizing visible contraband.
So he felt it wasn't really a full-blown body cavity search.
Exactly. He focused on the practical side of things,
right,
suggesting that requiring a warrant in every circumstance like this would be too much of a burden.
Interesting take.
Yeah.
And what about Judge Siperic? What was their perspective?
Judge Siperic went even further in protecting individual privacy. They argued that even visual inspections should require a warrant based on probable cause.
Wow. So they felt that even looking inside a body cavity was intrusive enough to require a warrant.
Yes.
Wow.
They were skeptical about drawing a hard line between visual and manual intrusions, arguing that both types of searches could be invasive and potentially traumatizing.
This is where it gets really fascinating for me.
Yeah.
We're seeing how the law isn't always black and white.
Right.
It's about grappling with these incredibly complex issues.
Yeah.
And trying to find a balance between competing interests.
Absolutely.
Right.
These dissenting and concurring opinions are so important because they force us to think critically about the issues.
Right.
They remind us that there are often multiple valid perspectives to consider.
So with all these different opinions flying around,
what
was the big takeaway for law enforcement?
Right.
How did People v. Hall actually change things on the ground?
Well, the court laid out a two-part test to guide police in these situations.
Right.
First, for a visual inspection,
they
need reasonable suspicion that the person is hiding evidence.
Right.
And the search has to be done reasonably.
Okay, so no more automatic body cavity searches.
All right.
The police actually have to justify each case.
Yeah.
It's a big win for individual rights.
You got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And second, for a manual search, they almost always need a warrant based on probable cause.
Right.
That means going to a judge, showing their evidence, and getting approval before doing something that intrusive.
That's huge.
Yeah.
It puts a check on police power.
Yeah.
And protects people from unnecessary invasions of privacy.
Precisely.
Yeah.
V. Hall was the game changer, especially for drug cases.
Uh-huh.
But its impact goes way beyond that.
You're right.
Yeah.
It's really about the fundamental balance between law enforcement and protecting everyone's dignity. But what happens as technology keeps advancing?
Yeah.
What if these searches become less invasive?
That's a fascinating question.
Yeah.
Imagine a world where they can scan your thoughts.
Whoa, slow down.
Is that even legal?
It's not that simple.
Where does the Fourth Amendment end?
The law is always trying to catch up to technology.
Right.
But it's a messy process.
You're right.
Yeah.
But imagine, like, instead of a manual search, police could use advanced imaging.
Mm-hmm.
To see if someone's hiding contraband.
Right.
Would that be considered less intrusive?
Hmm.
Would it need a different legal standard?
It definitely blurs the lines.
Yeah.
On the one hand, it's not physically invasive, like a manual search. But on the other hand, they're still accessing incredibly personal information without consent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Would reasonable suspicion still apply? Or would we need to rethink the whole concept of probable cause with these new technologies?
Yeah.
And then there's the psychological impact to consider. You know, it's funny. It reminds me of this time when I was traveling and, well, let's just say airport security got a little too friendly with the pat down.
Okay.
It wasn't a body cavity search or anything.
Right.
But even that brief invasion of my personal space left me feeling totally violated.
I can imagine. The law isn't just about protecting our bodies.
Yeah.
It's also about safeguarding our dignity and sense of autonomy.
And that's what makes People v. Hall so relevant.
Yeah.
Even today.
Right.
It reminds us that security and personal freedom have to coexist.
It's a constant balancing act.
Yeah.
And one we're still figuring out as a society.
Right.
Think about it this way.
Yeah.
If technology someday allows us to detect not just physical contraband, but also thoughts or memories,
Right.
Would that be the ultimate violation?
It's a mind-boggling concept, right?
Yeah.
The idea that your innermost thoughts could be searched,
right.
It makes you wonder what thoughts you would want to protect most.
Mm-hmm.
What's the mental equivalent of a body cavity that should be off limits?
It's a question philosophers,
right.
Legal scholars, and policymakers are already grappling with. And
yeah.
As technology advances,
right.
It's only going to get more complex.
Right.
But for now, we'll leave that question with you.
It's definitely something to ponder.
Yeah.
And it goes to show you that this case isn't just about one man and a drug arrest.
Right.
It's about the bigger picture of privacy and what it means to be free in a world where technology keeps pushing the boundaries.
People v. Hall was a landmark case that set a precedent for how we approach body cavity searches.
Right.
But the conversation doesn't end there.
Right.
It's an ongoing dialogue that forces us to grapple with the evolving relationship between technology, individual rights,
yeah.
and the pursuit of justice.
And that's the beauty of the law.
Rightly.
It's constantly evolving and adapting to meet the challenges of our times.
It's a living, breathing system that reflects our values
right.
and helps us navigate the complexities of a changing world.
Well said.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into People v. Hall,
okay.
we want to thank you, our amazing listeners, for joining us on this journey.
It's been a pleasure exploring these complex issues with you.
Remember, this case wasn't just about body cavity searches.
Right.
It was a powerful reminder that the law is meant to protect us.
Yeah.
And hold those in power accountable.
Uh-huh.
And it's up to all of us to stay informed and engaged in the ongoing conversation about how we balance security, liberty, and justice in our society.
Right.
Until next time, keep those minds curious and those questions coming. So we've covered the big ideas
yeah.
behind People v. Hall, but I'm curious about the practical side of things.
Okay.
What actually changed for police officers on the ground after this decision?
Well, think about it. Like, before this ruling,
okay.
many police departments had blanket policies on body cavity searches, especially for drug offenses.
Right.
It was almost like a routine procedure, a box to check off
yeah.
during certain arrests.
So it was basically automatic.
Pretty much.
No need to even think twice.
Yeah. But People v. Hall flipped the script.
Okay.
It forced law enforcement agencies to rewrite their policies and make it crystal clear that these searches can't be automatic.
Right.
Each case needs individual suspicion.
So no more one-size-fits-all approach.
Exactly.
That's a big deal.
Exactly.
Now, officers can't just conduct a body cavity search because it's in their department's playbook.
Right.
They need a solid reason.
Right.
Something tied to the specific facts of the case.
Exactly.
And they have to be able to explain that reasoning.
And remember, even with reasonable suspicion,
right.
a manual body cavity search
yeah.
usually needs a warrant.
Right.
Unless there's a true emergency.
Right.
That means going to a judge and proving why such an invasive procedure is necessary.
It's like the court was saying, hey, you need to treat each person as an individual.
Right.
Not just another suspect.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
It takes away that presumption of guilt.
Right.
And encourages a more thoughtful approach to law enforcement.
It's a big step in protecting people's rights.
Yeah.
It ensures that a neutral party, a judge,
right.
is involved in the decision-making process.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's all about accountability
right.
and making sure that power isn't being abused.
Right.
And that's one of the key legacies of People v. Hall.
Yeah.
It didn't just change police procedures.
Mm-hmm.
It set a legal standard that echoes through the judicial system.
Right.
Other courts can look to this case when they're dealing with similar situations.
It's amazing how one case can have such a ripple effect
yeah.
shaping the legal landscape for years to come.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
People v. Hall sparked an important conversation about the Fourth Amendment.
Right.
Body cavity searches
right.
and the balance between security and individual rights.
Right.
And that conversation continues today,
yeah.
especially as technology keeps evolving.
It makes you wonder what the future holds.
Yeah.
What happens when technology makes it even easier to peer inside someone's body?
Right.
Or even their mind?
Mm-hmm.
Where do we draw the line then?
Those are questions we as a society need to keep asking ourselves.
Yeah.
The legal and ethical landscape is always shifting.
Right.
And cases like People v. Hall remind us that we need to be actively engaged in shaping the world we want to live in,
a right.
world where technology and personal freedom can coexist.
Well said.
Yeah.
And on that note, I think it's time to wrap up our deep dive into People v. Hall.
It's been a fascinating journey.
A huge thank you to our amazing listeners for joining us.
Yeah.
We hope this deep dive gave you a new perspective on the Fourth Amendment.
Right.
And the complex issues surrounding body cavity slinches.
Uh-huh.
Remember, People v. Hall wasn't just about one man's experience. It was a landmark case that highlighted the importance of balancing security with individual dignity.
Right.
So until next time,
yeah.
Keep those minds curious.
Keep questioning the world around you.
And keep questioning the world around you.